I set that over there. I didn't want Toby Keith to come in and think that we were having a party with the Red Solo cups. So, but that was just distracting to me for a second, so I thought I'd get it out of the way. You know, I asked myself a couple questions before I sent out that email asking you if it was at all possible for you to be here today. Because when I do that, or when anybody does that, people's minds start wondering, what's the deal? What's going on? And is there, you know, something going on in the church or whatever? And there isn't. Everything's fine. The reason I did that is because what I want to talk about today is very important to each one of us as a Christian, each one of us who are a member of God's church. This topic is very important. And there's really two reasons why I decided to give this. One is in 1995, when the leadership of the church that we belonged to at that time, the organization, tried to take the Sabbath away from us, we were ready to fight. We weren't going to let that happen. And we were going to do everything in our power to not let that happen. Because the Sabbath was that important to us. Nobody is going to take that away. And we stood our ground and we stood on our belief in the Sabbath and why God created it and why God gave it to us and how important it is in our lives. And we didn't allow them to take that away from us or convince us that we didn't need to keep it or explain it away. We didn't allow that. A question is, do we still feel the same way about the Sabbath today? Are we willing to fight for it? Are we willing to stand up and express our belief in the Sabbath? That we know it's a commandment. We know we're to keep it. We know what God expects of us on the Sabbath. And the other reason, reason number two is, in talking with other ministers, and it's not just Grand Rapids, Kalamazoo, and Lansing, it's all over that attendance numbers go crazy. We may have 10 people here, we may have 15, we may have 35, we may have 8. That happens all over. It's not just here. It's happening all over the country. Why is that? And I know it's summertime. I know people go on vacation, and I know people are doing different things. But should there be a fluctuation like that in attendance? And you begin to ask, what's going on? Have people changed their thinking about God's Sabbath? Do they not see it the way we did in 1995? When we were willing to lay down everything that we believed to keep that Sabbath. I want to read something here that we received just the other day from Mr. Holliday. And this was very timely. And I gave this sermon in Lansing and Kalamazoo last week. And I wanted to make sure I gave it here. And you can do with this message what you want to do with it. You will get out of this message what you want to get out of it. But God has called us all as individuals. He's given us His commandments to understand. He's opened our minds to understand that. It's up to us what we do with it. But we have to think about God's commandments. We have to make that decision. Are we going to keep God's commandments His way, or are we not? Are we going to try to change them as the world does to fit our needs, our wants, our desires? But this letter from Mr. Holliday begins, says, "Do you remember the first time you attended church services with the Church of God?" And he goes on to say, "In 1958, as a teenager, I learned about the Sabbath and holy days. My mother, twin sister, and I observed the Sabbath and holy days for a year at home before I attended Ambassador College. I remember walking to the Shakespeare Club for a Friday night Bible study and regular church service the next day. I was overwhelmed and thrilled by the clarity of the teaching and the sheer excitement of finally being able to worship with others on the Sabbath. The Sabbath was the highlight of the week. Maybe we can remember back to the first Sabbath we attended church. He goes on, hopefully the Sabbath is still the high point of the week for us. God created the Sabbath to be a blessing for us, as it says in Mark 2:27. There it says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a special creation for the whole human race. Not only did God create it, but He has perpetuated it and sustains it to this day. It's a day that was made for our good, a day of rest and worship. One of the blessings of the Sabbath is the opportunity to assemble together on that day. Sometimes age, health, and finances might limit our ability to attend on a regular basis. We live in an age today where many who are not able to attend have access to DVDs and to webcasting of services. This is a blessing for those who are not able to attend, but can also be a temptation for others to just stay at home and skip services. Notice how Weiss translates Hebrews 10:25, where it says, not letting down on the assembling of ourselves together, even as the custom of certain is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day drawing near. In the Complete Word Study Dictionary of the New Testament, he gives the following comment. Assemble does not merely denote the assembling for corporate worship as a solidarity or occasional act, but as a customary conduct. Assembling together should be our habitual behavior. It gives us an opportunity to encourage, cheer up, inspire, and build up one another. What a blessing we have to contribute to the overall vitality and health of other believers. Fellowshipping with the people of God is truly another great blessing from God that the Sabbath day affords. For many of us, the Sabbath is a major day that we are able to see our beloved brethren. As 1 John 1:3 states, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We have more time to communicate with one another on the Sabbath as well. We're able to pray effectively for others because we have more knowledge of one another's needs and health issues. 1 John 1:3 reveals that we also have fellowship with the Father and with Jesus Christ. We have fellowship with God anytime we pray, study, and meditate on His Word. However, the Sabbath is a special time of fellowshipping with God. The congregation of Israel would literally come to the physical temple on the Sabbath to be in God's presence. Today, the church is collectively the temple of God. God dwells in us. As the children of God, we assemble together to meet with our father and elder brother. Every time we miss services, we miss an opportunity to be in God's presence. We collectively assemble together to worship God. We do this by praising God through music, by learning more about God through preaching, and by fellowshipping with one another. In the millennium and the white throne judgment period, all nations will observe the Sabbath day. Notice how God describes that period of time. And from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. We have the opportunity to worship God now, each Sabbath, and later to teach the nations how to worship the Creator God and His Son. That's from Mr. Holliday. Let's turn to Leviticus 23, if you would. Leviticus 23. It's a chapter we're all very familiar with. Leviticus 23. And in verse 3, Leviticus 23 and verse 3, it says, 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. A day of solemn rest. Webster says it's solemn is dignified and ceremonial, highly serious. A special day. A Sabbath of solemn rest may be restated as a Sabbath that is all a Sabbath should be. All a day should be as we keep God's truth. We have everything in this day. We come together before the Creator Himself. And as mentioned in Mr. Holiday's letter in Hebrews 10:25, not letting down on assembling together. And then we come together in a holy convocation, a holy assembly, a holy meeting for a purpose. It's not a social club. It's not just to get together to discuss things that really aren't meaningful or anything else, but it's to get together to talk about God and about God's Word. Exodus 31, if you turn there with me. Exodus 31. Exodus 31, beginning in verse 12. Exodus 31 and verse 12. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies or sets you apart, who makes you special. Not better than anyone else, but you have a special calling, a special purpose. And in verse 14, you shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death, for whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual or everlasting, lifelong covenant. It is a sign in verse 17. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. A sign between us and our Creator. A continuing covenant. The title of my message today is The Weekly Sabbath is Also God's Examination Day. The Weekly Sabbath is Also God's Examination Day. And this message is something that should be very important to all of us as God's people. We should never, never minimize the Sabbath or the importance of the Sabbath or write the Sabbath off or put it in a category with any other day because we can't. It's not ours to do that with. God has created the Sabbath for a particular reason. We can't change that. The world tries to change it, but they can't. And some of the material I'm going to use today I got from a sermon that was given by a longtime minister who's now deceased in God's church, Mr. Clint Zimmerman. Some of you may remember him. But the Sabbath day is a spiritual test. A spiritual test. A test designed by our Creator God for our benefit, for you and me, to help you and me. Even though we didn't realize it back when we were in school, and the teachers would give us tests and we're groaning and moaning because we didn't prepare in most cases. But those tests were for our benefit. Those tests were to help us understand and gain knowledge and pass the course, to move on, to grow in our education. The Sabbath day does the same thing. It's a test for us each week. God wants to see who we are and what we are doing week after week on His Sabbath day. What are we doing on God's holy Sabbath day? Once we become part of the body of Jesus Christ, God will test us for the rest of our lives. Every Sabbath for the rest of our lives. And we know God tests us in other areas as well. But the Sabbath is a weekly test. How are we doing? God wants to know that. Our goal as Christians is to one day enter the kingdom of God. And the weekly Sabbath gives us a little peek into that kingdom. A 24-hour period each week when we remove ourselves from the world, from the world's events, and we come together in the presence of God to worship Him, to be set apart, to be sanctified on God's Sabbath, the seventh day of the week. To not be part of what's going on out there, but to be part of what's going on in God's kingdom, in God's church. When we come together on God's Sabbath day, we don't have to give a thought to what's going on out there in the world. Our mind should be focused somewhere else. We should be concerned with glorifying our great God. What can I do to glorify Him? What can I do to let Him know I'm on board? I get it. I want to be here. I don't want to be anywhere else. We're glorifying God by keeping His commandment to be here. How do we apply the knowledge of the Sabbath? How do we apply that? I don't know about you, but when we first began attending God's church, we didn't understand the Sabbath. We didn't understand really how to keep the Sabbath. But it was a learning process. Looking into the scriptures, watching the example of others who have been keeping the Sabbath for a long time, asking questions. On our knees asking questions to God. Help me to understand this. Help me to understand what You require of me on Your Sabbath day. Because that's what I want to do. That's what's important. Help me to get that. Help me to see that. What are our actions on God's Sabbath day? And are we by those actions worthy to enter God's kingdom? We know ourselves. We know what we do. We know how we keep God's Sabbath. We have to answer that question for ourselves. Are we worthy to enter God's kingdom by the way we honor His Sabbath day? Because we know the government of God is perfect, a perfect government. And we're told in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, we are told to pursue what? Pursue perfection. To seek perfection. To want to be like Jesus Christ. God has to know who you and I are. He has to know that. Remember, He had to know who Abraham was. He tested Abraham to the limit. But the conclusion of that test was, now I know. Now I know who you are. I know what you believe. I know you're faithful. I know you honor and glorify me by your actions, by your heart, by your mind. God tested Abraham just as He tests us. But God will only accept those in His kingdom who are obedient to Him. God's had a taste of sin. He saw it firsthand. Rebellion, disobedience. He saw that. He doesn't want it ever to be in His kingdom. He won't allow that. Are we in absolute agreement and in unity with God. Do we agree 100% with God? The weekly Sabbath is a time to come together and learn more of God's ways. Do we pray for that kingdom to come? That wonderful kingdom, when all of the problems that we experience today, all of the diseases, all of the negative things we experience today will be gone, be done away with. Do we pray for God's kingdom to come? Are we at a place in our lives where we can see without God, we're doomed to fail? Mankind in general hasn't seen that yet. They still think they have the answers. They can pull it out. They can make things happen. They can correct the problems and solve the problems. Without God, that's not possible. Do we prove to God that we truly want His kingdom to come by the way we live our lives? Is that what we anticipate every day? God's kingdom. Wait, God, I'm not ready yet. I need another 5 years to get my house in order. Or are we saying, bring it on. Bring it on. I'll do my best. I'll give you my best. I need your help. But I know your kingdom's the only answer. Each Sabbath we participate in a worship service honoring and glorifying God. We hear messages that are inspired because I know you pray and I pray and I know all the men that speak pray for inspiration for the messages that are given. We want to say what God wants to be said and you want to hear what God wants to be said. That's why we're here. But being here helps us in our relationship with not only God, but each other. We grow together as a family. We bond together as a family. We know who's hurting. We know who's having difficulty in going through trials because we're here together, talking amongst each other, sharing with each other. If we're not here, we don't know that. If we're not here, we don't have a clue who to pray for. We don't know who's having difficulty. We don't know if by being here on a particular Sabbath in a conversation, someone will say something that will help you in your own trial. Because we're all here as brothers and sisters in the body of Jesus Christ to help one another. That's part of this service. It's not just to come here and sit in a seat. It's to come here and participate and be a part of what's happening. To be a part of the body of Jesus Christ. Our conversion is a process that includes being educated in the knowledge of who and what God is. That's part of our calling, part of our conversion. And God has given us the Ten Commandments to live our life by. Guidelines, perimeters, boundaries. Ask any parent what it would have been like raising their children had there been no rules, no boundaries, no perimeters. You just do what you want to, kids, and hopefully we'll see you tomorrow. What kind of a household would that have been? No possibility that would ever work. God understands that too. He's given us perimeters and boundaries to live by so that we can begin to understand, oh, this works. I see why you want us to do that. I see why you want us to keep your Sabbath and assemble together because it's good for us. Because we learn and we grow. That's why. I got it now. Through our study each Sabbath, we've learned to take these commandments and realize they're so much more than just physical laws. There's so much more to them. There's a spiritual aspect that Jesus Christ brought to us and helped us understand. It's much more. Exodus 20:13, if you turn there with me. Exodus 20:13. So we look at God's Ten Commandments. Exodus 20:13. You shall not murder. Okay. That's the end of that one. I got it. I won't take anybody's life. I won't do that. So I'm good. Me and God are like that now. Because I get that. But there's so much more to that. If we're looking at this and allowing our mind to be guided and directed by God's Holy Spirit and really getting into the understanding of that commandment, that simple commandment, we see there's much more to it. Let's turn to Matthew 5. Matthew 5. Matthew 5. Jesus Christ here helps us to understand that there's more to it than this, so just those few simple words. Matthew 5 and verse 21. You have heard it said, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. There again, those simple words. And whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I, Jesus Christ talking here, but I say to you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. So if we hate someone, if we want harm to come onto somebody, or we cause harm to somebody, or cheat somebody, we're as guilty of breaking that commandment as killing, physically killing somebody. There's more to it. Because as a Christian, we wouldn't do that. Jesus Christ would never do that. And if we have the love that God wants us to have, we would never do that to anyone. We would never mistreat another person. We would never call them a name. Never cheat them. We wouldn't do it. That love that God has shown us and God is helping us to understand more and more wouldn't allow it. We wouldn't even think about it. We would treat everyone as we would treat ourselves. We would treat everyone as we would treat ourselves. We can't hate our brother. And this takes that commandment and all the other commandments so much higher and makes them so much more important when you look at the spiritual part of those commandments. They go far beyond the physical. The Sabbath day goes far beyond the physical. We can come here and we can sit in the seat for an hour and a half, we can get up and leave and walk out of here and figure we fulfilled our duty. But there's much more to it than that. We have to give of ourselves on the Sabbath to be here and to pray that morning that God, please help us understand what you're going to teach us today. Help us to understand what we need to grow in, areas that we may be struggling in. Help us to be there to support one another and to pray for one another. And to maybe supply a need that somebody else has. Much more to it than just filling a seat. We saw in 95 that half of the seats in the congregations were just being filled. People were there for a physical reason. I'm fulfilling my duty. People can see me. I'm here every Sabbath. Sit right here, same seat. Don't leave till the amen. That really is an empty effort if we don't see the spiritual side of that. What you and I think about God's Sabbath, what we do and don't do on God's Sabbath, should be motivated by our understanding and our commitment to God and His laws concerning the Sabbath. His Sabbath. God instituted the Sabbath at the end of creation week. And He says that the Sabbath day is holy, set apart, sanctified. Something different than the other 6 days. Let's turn to Genesis 2. Genesis 2. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis 2 in verse 1. Genesis 2 and verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God, he just didn't stop there. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. And in the beginning of verse 4, this is the history. The Sabbath is part of that history. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. That Sabbath is right in there, included in the history of creation. Not an afterthought, not an amendment, not an addition, but part of our history, part of creation history. We should all be in the process of growing and understanding better about God's Sabbath. We never will know everything until we're spirit beings, until we can fully, 100% understand spiritual things. But the way we keep the Sabbath changes as we grow in spiritual knowledge. I doubt if any of us keep the Sabbath the way we did 10, 20, 30 years ago. We grow in our knowledge. We grow in our actions and how we keep the Sabbath, because we're growing spiritually. We become more mature spiritually. We keep it different. We keep it more and more God's way. We learn through our spiritual education how we can better observe God's special holy day. Just like our conversion, learning about God's Sabbath and keeping his Sabbath is an ever-changing process based on our understanding. And I'm sure all of us would love to keep the Sabbath perfect. But we're flesh and blood. We're human beings. We don't do that right now. But one day we will. One day we will. But our responsibility is to grow and become more mature and reach the full stature of Jesus Christ, to be as much like Christ as we can be and grow toward that. And God expects us to be trying to do that. The Sabbath is a foretaste of God's kingdom. Very special to God. Very meaningful to God. And like so many things, after a while, it isn't important as it used to be. Other things take the Sabbath's place. The Sabbath becomes something other than a priority. The Sabbath is moved down. I'll work my schedule around the Sabbath. And now in some cases it says I'll work my Sabbath around my schedule. We can't do that. God didn't mention anywhere in Scripture, if we got too busy, don't worry about it. Who could be busier than God? Who could create everything we see and then take time to set a day aside and rest? What you and I do on the Sabbath demonstrates how much we understand spiritually, and if we're willing to obey God by keeping the Sabbath as a commandment that he has given us. Not trying to make excuses, not trying to water it down, not trying to say, well, this and that and the other thing, but to look at the Scripture and keep it as God says to keep it. God is open to all of our minds to understand that. If we look at the Scripture, what does God require of me on his Sabbath day? And then what was the old saying? Just do it. Just do it. The Sabbath is a literal, actual, real, and comprehensive test given by God every 7 days. He gives it to all of those who he's called and understand his truth. What are you going to do this week? It's a test, and it applied Christianity. A weekly test that isn't just some ritual that God wants to do and he engages in just to entertain himself. It's something very important to God. And I think that many in the church are not seeing clearly just how important the Sabbath is to God. And how serious it should be in our own sight, in our own mind. And it's very important that we understand and respond accordingly to this commandment. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4 and verse 17. Something that should get all of our attention, all of our focus. 1 Peter 4:17, for the time has come for judgment to be at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Judgment is on us today. On those who have been called out, who have been given God's truth, who have the Holy Spirit of God, and who are being taught God's way of life now. Judgment is at our door. Hopefully we understand that. God's judgment is on his church today. This Sabbath day. You and I are part of God's church. We didn't choose to do that. We didn't go looking. God called us. Without God opening our mind and calling us, there's no way we would ever be here. God has individually sought us out, opened our mind to his understanding, his truth, and brought us here to his church. How amazing is that? That God would look down in these billions of people and see me and you. I want him. I want her. I'm going to give them an opportunity. We're just going along minding our own business. And then we begin to understand something different. Something's different. There's more to this than what we know. And we begin to understand. We begin to think differently than we did before. We begin to have different goals than we had before. God's judgment is on his church. What are we doing today? What do we have planned for after services? What are we going to do till sunset today? Remember, it's a test. What are we doing? God's called us out of this world to come together before his very throne, before our Creator God. And he has taken the pressure of life off of us for 24 hours. He tells us, take it easy. Relax. Relax. Just let that material stuff go. Just relax today. Rest. Do my pleasures today. And don't be concerned about the physical, about what's outside these walls. Don't be concerned about that. Nothing you can do about it. Not today. Just relax and enjoy. Give me your full attention. That's what I want on my Sabbath day. Much is expected from us, from each one of us. Much is expected. More than just accepting the scriptures and their arguments for the seventh-day Sabbath. It's more than that. It's more than not going to your job. It's more than just showing up for church services. Keeping God's Sabbath encompasses everything. It encompasses who we are, what we're about. It encompasses our life. It displays before God our total spiritual development. We show that by all that we do and by our actions, our thoughts, and our prayers, we show that we're either committed to God, keeping His laws, doing things His way, or we're not. God wants to know that. And we should be in the process of refining our obedience, our respect, our reverence, and our love for God. Refining that. Making it better. Understanding it better. Putting it to practice more and more in our lives. By being here today on God's Holy Sabbath, we are proving whether or not we are a candidate for the kingdom of God. If we're here and we understand why we're here and God knows our in our mind and our heart, we want to obey Him, we want to serve Him, we want to worship and glorify Him, He's well pleased. That's what He's looking for. That's what He requires of us. But we have to ask ourselves, what have I done, what am I doing, and what will I do today that God will not allow in His kingdom? We have to ask ourselves those questions. And then we must make the necessary changes if changes need to be done. Matthew 22, if you turn there with me. Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Matthew 22 and in verse 37. Very familiar scriptures. Matthew 22 and in verse 37, Jesus was being what this lawyer thought. He thought he was putting Christ on the spot here when he asked him which commandment is a great commandment in the law. And Jesus said to him in verse 37, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Everything you are. Everything you can pull out of yourself, you're to love God that way. Not halfway, not three quarters of the way, but with 100% of who we are. God is to be first in our lives. Number one. And part of the Sabbath test is to see if we keep this commandment. Showing love toward God by keeping His law. Each week during our conversation, our conversion, we're given time off from the world to examine how we're doing spiritually. We get to come here. We get to be separated from the world, sanctified on this day, set apart on this day. How are we doing spiritually? Psalms 1, if you turn there with me. Psalms 1. Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. And in verse 1. Psalms 1 and in verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. Do we think about God's way of life every day? Do we begin our day asking God to be involved? Before we walk out the door of our homes and face the world, do we ask God to be a part of our life? Father, we want to do it your way. We want this day to be a good day. And it can only be a good day if you're a part of it. And you're helping me. Studying diligently to show ourselves approved, as it says in 2 Timothy 2:15. Studying God's Word. Looking. Proving. That the Bible is the inspired word and truth of God. We must have the mind of Christ in us. God's given us a brain and He's given us His Holy Spirit to help us understand spiritual things. We have a physical brain to understand the physical things. But God has given us His Holy Spirit to open up these pages of the Bible and help us to understand God's Word. How you or I live our lives is our religion. And hopefully our religion is God's religion. We follow and live our lives according to God's Word. God says to meditate on His Word, that we should open up our Bibles and study His truth. And if we study, His instruction will come to a more perfect understanding of what God is doing. 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 11. Again, another very familiar voice, but a very personal, or not another familiar scripture, but a very personal scripture, because where are we spiritually? Are we still a babe in the truth? Are we growing spiritually? Are we maturing spiritually? Because it says here in verse 11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And if we're growing spiritually, if we're maturing spiritually, we'll put away excuses and reasonings that would steer us away from keeping God's Sabbath and keeping any of God's law. We won't get bogged down with our own way of thinking, traditions, or anything else. We will be locked in to what we know to be true and to serve God in the way that we know He wants us to serve Him. We can't remain as a child spiritually forever. Just as our children grow up and develop into adulthood, we must grow up in our spiritual understanding and actions. We change during our conversion. We've been called out of this world so that we can be separate and holy, a holy people. 1 Peter, if you turn there with me, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1. And verse 15. But as He who called you is holy, and we know that we're called by God the Father, He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Be like God. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. That's what God wants for you and I. He wants us to be a holy people. People who obey Him. People who keep His laws. Being made into something better than we are. Israel was tested on God's Sabbath to see where their love toward God was. We know how that turned out. They had excuse after excuse after excuse why they didn't obey God's laws, why they didn't keep the Sabbath. We know that God gave them the example of the manna and warned them through Moses to go out on Friday and get a double portion, because no one was to go out on the Sabbath to gather manna. And yet some did. Some did. And you would think, with all of the examples that Israel saw in person of the miracles God performed for them, bringing them out of slavery, parting the Red Sea, providing a pillar of fire and a cloud, I mean, just everything that God did, the water, everything. And then when He tells them honor my Sabbath, keep my Sabbath. And some chose to, well, yeah, but yeah, God probably didn't mean it that way. And it's food, you know, so we'll just go pick up some extra stuff. But God said, don't do that. And yet they did it anyway. God wants to know our heart. He wants to know us inside and out. He wants to know if we're serious about our calling or not. Are we just here for what we can get out of it? Or are we here to give what we can give and share what we can share? Exodus 16. Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. Exodus 16 and verse 6. Exodus 16 and verse 6. Then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, at evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your murmurings against the Lord. But what are we that you murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning bread to the full, for the Lord hears your murmurings which you make against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against God. There was an awful lot of murmuring going on. But that's what they did. Found reasons. Made excuses. Not only against Moses and Aaron, but against God as well. Well, we can't do this, we can't do that. We want it this way or that way. They just kept looking for something. God is a God of deliverance. Just as he delivered Israel from slavery, he delivered us from religious captivity in the world. All of the religions based on tradition, based on what some men believe or don't believe. We were caught up in all of that. But God freed us from that. God set us free as well. Free from the religious confusion that held us captive. Still holds the world captive. And again, God has set us apart through his Holy Spirit and sanctified us. Will we obey him? Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. Hebrews 3 and verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial, in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. See, God looks deeper. He looked into their heart. They always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, and again it's repeating this, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Don't be like the ancient Israelites. To not listen. To be hard-headed, hard-hearted. Wanting things their own way. But to be submissive. To be humble before God. Hebrews 4 and verse 1. Hebrews 4 and verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Fear God. Fear God. in a healthy way, in a good way. Fear God as our parent, as our creator. Do we shall fall short of keeping God's Sabbath in a proper way? And in verse 9, Hebrews 4 and verse 9, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. We just copy God. We just follow that example. We rest. We stop doing what we've been doing for the past 6 days and we rest. And we come before God to worship him and to glorify him and to thank him for all he's done for us. Following that example. And in verse 12, Hebrews 4 and verse 12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What's our intent? How do we feel in our heart toward God? Do we love God all through our being, inside, outside? Do we understand that? Verse 13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. God knows us. We can't fool him. We can't write the answers, you know, on the palm of our hand or up on our arm and cheat on the test. God knows us. He knows how we honor him and how we honor his Sabbath. God just doesn't play games that way. We stand before God as if we were naked with no place to hide. Here we are. And on Judgment Day, if we didn't honor God's holy Sabbath day, we will, as an individual, have to explain why. When we're asked that question, why didn't you honor my Sabbath commandment? That'll be up to us as individuals to answer. We have to do, as it says in Hebrews 3:13, encourage one another in a positive way to keep God's Sabbath. Make the Sabbath a joy. The place we want to be every seventh day of the week. We don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss being with you. I don't want to miss spending time with my brothers and sisters in Christ. We're a family. We understand each other. We go to a family reunion or some other event. How many people there understand you? If they're not in God's church and God hasn't opened their mind, they don't understand you or what you believe or what you feel. We do. We get it. We understand each other's feelings because we believe the same thing. We must do as it says in Scripture. We must honor God and keep His commandments. We're being examined today. Today, and God is finding out about us right now. He began His examination at sunset last evening, and he'll finish his examination tonight at sunset. And he'll determine if we've given ourselves to him completely or have we made the decision to keep the Sabbath our way. In Exodus 28, the command to keep God's Sabbath begins by saying, remember. No other commandment begins that way. Remember the Sabbath. But there's something else that goes along with that. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy, to keep it my way, the way I've directed you to. We can read God's instruction for keeping the Sabbath. Let's turn to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. Isaiah Isaiah 58 and in verse 13. Isaiah 58 and verse 13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasures on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. That's how God wants us to keep a Sabbath day. Not doing our pleasure, but doing his. Refrain from doing our pleasure and call the Sabbath a delight and honorable. Many who left God's church said the Sabbath was a burden. Can't do it. Can't keep it. It's too much. What does God require that's too much? Our time? Our attention? Our presence before him? Honor God by not doing our own pleasures. Our conversation should honor God on the Sabbath. I'll mention this again, that God's given us complete freedom from the world on his Sabbath day. Complete freedom from the world. If we get back into the world and we get involved in things, we do that on our own. God has given us complete freedom from the world on his Sabbath day. And he's told us on his authority and his power, and is there a higher authority or a higher power that anyone knows of? But God has told us that we do not have to pay any attention to the world on the Sabbath. Made it very clear. We do not have to do that. Our choice. Our call. We have the whole day, 24 hours, to give God our full attention. And from the instruction we read in Isaiah, our conversation on the Sabbath is important. But what we do on the Sabbath is even more important. And we must come to the understanding that if we rest and turn from our ways on this day, then we will begin to better understand and participate in the delights of God's Sabbath. The Sabbath is a delight. God created it to be that way. We're to delight ourselves in our relationship with God. What could be a more happy event in our lives than to have that relationship with the Creator God? We all know there are terrible things going on all around the world. But we're blessed to understand that God will deal with that. It's bigger than we are. We can't do anything about it. We can pray for those people who are involved and who are being affected, who are being hurt, who are being killed, who are hungry, without a roof over their head. We can certainly pray for them. But God will handle those leaders who have caused that and brought that about in the world. We can't. But we can certainly pray about it and ask God to deal with it. 2 Timothy, if you turn there with me, 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. Second Timothy 3 and in verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Even the world's religions today do not give God any credit for the power that he has. Many of the religions do all they can do to bring God and Jesus Christ down to a lower level. So that justifies their shortcomings. Gives them a ticket to do ungodly things. But having the form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people, turn away. Turn away. We got no business there. It's what God says. We got no business there. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Knowledge is going crazy out there. Knowledge of the world. Education's just through the roof. But what does that come to without God? What does all of that knowledge come to without God? It says, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Because many, many educated leaders, smart people think they're smarter than God. And until they humble themselves, until they put themselves down off their pedestals, they're not going to come to the knowledge of the truth. They just won't. All of this world's problems will be solved when Jesus Christ returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What have you planned for today? Is it to serve God, to really get closer to Him, to learn more about Him and what He expects from each one of us? Is it your plan today to get something out of this message? Something. Or are you just waiting until 4 o'clock? Till I get too thirsty and have to go sit down? Remember, I told you up front that the Sabbath day is also God's examination day for you and I. How do we do?